Blog Talk Radio. Matthew 5, Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in the secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they shall be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, my sisters and brothers, says the word. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Verse 14 says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Hallelujah. We thank you, dear Father, for another opportunity to just receive your word. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for the joy in our hearts. Oh, dear Father, we are just calling out and we're just looking forward to your blessings. Looking forward to all that you have to say tonight. We praise your name. We honor you, glory. And we ask now that anything that's around us may it just decrease and move out of our way. And we ask you to just come and take our invitation to just rest, root, and abide in our homes, in our situations. Show us, dear Father, what our eyes need to see. Open our ears, dear Father. Unplug our hearts that we can receive and hear from you right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We're screaming in so many directions, trying to get the attention of someone that we know not of, but it is you. It is you. It is you, our Messiah, our Savior, our healer, our protector. It is you. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your power. And I stand in agreement with all sisters and brothers right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we say thank you. Amen, amen, amen. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We really do. I now want to thank you, every sister, every brother, and just for taking out the time just to come and be in worship, to come just to open your heart and receive what it is. I'm your host, Evangelist Von Dumas, and I'm just there. I'm a one that's a servant that God is just, I'm just allowing God to use. Just as you've been a servant, you a minister, just open up your heart and let God use you. He has his own plans of the ways to use you to minister to the world. So don't think that it's not for you. don't think that you don't have a job to do. This is my job, and you have one to minister in a way that he has set for you. I have to be me and do what he has for me to do. But please be you. Please allow God to show you what he has for you, how he wants you to impact this world with his word. Hallelujah. I know right now you may be impacting this world with all kind of other things, but it ain't over because he woke you up this morning. That's how I know that. And he allowed you to still be breathing right now. It's not just something that happened. God has plans for you. And the breath that you're breathing right now, if everybody could take, just inhale. Ah, oh, let it out, exhale. Hallelujah. That's God. That's God. The breath that you breathe is not your own. You can't pay for it. You can get artificial oxygen, but it'll only last for a while. If God removes your spirit, none of that'll matter. None of that will matter. If you turn on the news today, you see that there's a lot of things going on. A lot of different elements of the weather, shocking elements of weather, doing different things that are just shocking to us, to our minds, to our spirits. But God is still God. It's all him. It's all in his control. It is God. He's speaking to us in so many ways. We thank God just for the 44 miners that was rescued out of central China. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for just all of the ones, dear Father, that are just calling out your name, the families that are in bereavement. God bless, and just thank you for being that healer. Thank you for going coast to coast and being with the families that is without electricity on the East Coast. We thank you for just being there with them, Father. Hallelujah. And we call out Brother Mucci and also his brother Hussein in Boston. Still, God is just healing it, and you're just allowing him to heal you for taking things day by day. I know you've been through a traumatic experience. For those of us that may not have heard, it's been about 3 months ago now, the two brothers were in a bad car accident. And the paramedics didn't even think that they had survived. They couldn't even get to them because the car was in fire. And the flames were so intense that they just had to wait until they could let it die down to even get it out. So they just knew that the brothers was dead. But God, he's a healer. He's a deliverer. Said, I looked in the fires and the testimonies are set. Said, I just know the brothers was gone. There's no way those men could be alive. But God. How many of us know that it just wasn't two people in that car? Oh, but God. In the midst of the fire, there he was. In the midst of the torment, there he was. Hallelujah. Skin can burn, but he kept the spirits alive, giving them new strength, new mercies, new insight. One of the brothers said, it's no way you come out of this being the same person. Hallelujah. One of the brother's legs amputated, but you know what? But God. But spirit is born brand new. Brand new. But God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We come just loving you. We need, as we look around in all of the different things that's going on in the world, we see the different things. We see just in my complex, a little baby. I think the baby is 2 or 3.
the father was sleeping, got out of the door, the front door some kind of way, was out in the parking lot, and this car almost hit the baby. But you hear the word almost, but God. And the young lady said it was just something wouldn't let her go back any farther. Oh, but God, come on and praise him with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord Jesus. But God, God is still moving. God is still healing. And when you watch the different devastations in the world, make sure that you're praying for those areas. Don't just allow that stuff to go inside of your ears and penetrate your flesh and just set there and start to work on you till you believe that there's no good news left. But I come to bring you the good news from my Father. You listen to it and you pray in those areas and you keep on pushing. You pray until something happens. Do you see a difference in those areas? You got to believe, but God, we need a new dimension. We need to look at things differently, a new dimension in life. Are you ready? Are you ready for a new birth, the birth of a spiritual vision? And that is parallel to the birth of your child. You get the intimacy of the conception, the development, and then the birth. Then the birth. Spiritually, your spiritual vision comes through the intimacy. The vision develops with the womb of the spirit until it's time for that birth. It's time for a new dimension in life. We went over Matthew 6, 9, and 13, how we should pray. This is a time in our life when we all need to be praying. How do I pray, evangelist? He gives us the word. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Jot it down. Go back. You said, I'm just beginning at this thing. I'm just new at this thing. Mighty Cruz, it doesn't matter. Start right there. Just repeat the prayer in the morning. Repeat the prayer at night. Somewhere in the middle of the day, just keep talking to him, saying, God, I invite you in. Show me yourself. Reveal yourself to me. Now, I know that most of us believers, we're quite familiar with the passage, and we've also recited it from some of us from even early childhood. But when I place this very familiar passage as the Lord's Prayer on the details of really a strict, detailed spiritual analysis, two wonders of this true composite was revealed. Now, there are two versions of this model prayer, one recorded in what we just went through, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, and then one is in Luke 11, 2 and 4. Now, most Bible scholars agree that the similarities between them suggest that we are justified in regarding the two, that we're justified in just regarding the two forms of the same prayer rather than different prayers. Matthew's version was taught when Jesus presented the Sermon on the Mount. Follow with me. Matthew's version. Now, the passage in the book of Luke was given when the disciples came to Jesus asking him to teach them to pray. Two different outlooks, two different forms. Now, more than 2.5 years had passed between the giving of the prayer during the Sermon on the Mount and the incident recorded in Luke. Time had passed. Now, during the interim, the disciples watched Jesus pray. Hallelujah. They got to watch their Jesus pray. They witnessed his priorities he placed on personal prayer. They saw the power resulting from his personal prayer time, from the experience that he got out of his prayer, his persistence. They saw the evidence in his prayer. And as they observed their master, they noted that his ministry of teaching, they got to see firsthand his ministry of preaching and demonstrating the power of his Father, demonstrating that power and watching it flow from his times of intimate fellowship with his Father. We've got to get into that intimate fellowship, the new dimension of life. Are you ready? Let's go there. They got to see his ministry. They got to see the intercession. They got to see the birth revelations. The revelations always results in manifestation. What are you waiting to be manifestation in your life? You say, I've already named it, I've claimed it, I see the vision, I'm sowing my seed, and I'm just waiting for the manifestation. Don't you stop praying now. Don't you give up now. You've come too far to turn around now. God has a plan for you. All that created in the disciples. Can you imagine the disciples being there watching his teaching, watching his preaching, watching his prayer? And they yearned to learn how to pray. So they went to the master and they asked him, Teach us how to pray. We've got to be in that response. We've got to be the ones to come into him and say, Heavenly Father. And it doesn't matter how long you've been a prayer warrior. God will take you higher. He'll take you somewhere else. He will lift you up and put you in a sacred place. Hallelujah. He'll open your mouth and just words will flow. Your spirit will connect. God teaches how to pray. Jesus responded to them the same that he will respond to you and you and you. The same model prayer that we just went over. He originally taught on the Sermon on the Mount. That same model prayer is what he told the disciples in response to their question or their demand. Teach us how to pray, my Father. How should we pray? Hallelujah. When God leads you personally through all different hills and valleys, you will learn how to pray. He will teach you how to pray. He will bring you to an intimate closure. I remember the night that I got the word that my son had passed a little bit over a year ago. And just that night, I came back from identifying my baby's body. And I came and I told everybody, I just need to be by myself. They said, Bonnie, we can't let you be by yourself tonight. Your 25-year-old son just drowned. But I had to be by myself because I needed to be intimate with the Lord. Hallelujah. I needed to be in prayer with my Father. I needed that special connection that nobody could give me. As much as my sisters and brothers, my mother, family, and friends was flying in from everywhere to be with me. I needed that too. I did. But I needed God, and I needed him there. I needed him to hold me. I needed to be in an intimate relationship. How can you survive and get over things like that? You said, but I haven't lost a child, but I've been through some struggles. I got an eviction note. How do you get through that? How do you go through the eviction and still hold your head up high? How do you go through losing that job and keep on going? Because you know it's not that job that is your means. But you know God is your means. You know as long as you're living and working, you're doing for God. Man can't move you out of God's way. And don't you allow no one to tell you so. Don't you move yourself out of God's way. Don't allow that circumstances to make you doubt God, to make you doubt his plans for you. Go in prayer. Keep yourself in an intimate position. Get yourself in a place where you can hear from God. What did it say back in our scripture? It told us that when we pray, we should what? Matthew 6 goes back and tells us that, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It says there's no need of you standing. Don't go out and try to for shape, form, or fashion. You know, you don't pray inside of your home, but outside. Now you want to, you know, when someone says something at work, well, you know, I'm a prayer. But do you have words babbling, just babbling words? Or do you have a connection? Every word that comes out of your mouth when you're in prayer, is it connecting to something? Is it sticking to something? Is it bouncing back and the Holy Spirit is coming back to you? Are you listening to receive the word? Are you being spoken to, my sisters, my brother? And who's speaking to you? Do you know the voice of your shepherd? Do you know the voice of your Savior? Oh, hallelujah. Teach us to pray. Go into a new dimension. This is a personal thing. Our prayer life has got to be a personal thing. When we look up and we see all around the country all the things that are going on, rumors and scandalous affairs and all kind of different murders and obscene things and earthquakes in places that we never experienced before, this is a time for personal prayer. Fear not. You don't need to be afraid. Fear is just false evidence that is appearing real to you at the moment. Fear not, but pray. Be in prayer. Don't be afraid to ask someone to pray with you. Don't be afraid to ask someone, can I pray for you? And if someone asks you to pray, the Holy Spirit is just laying on my heart. It's a lot of times that you need to stop and pray right then. You don't say, okay, my sister and brother, I will pray for you. And then you drop that seed. And you forget that you didn't pray for that sister and brother. We need to be in prayer. Hallelujah. When God leads me to that holy prayer, he answered my request on how to pray. And I questioned, how would I ever be able to tarry with God for an hour? I remember people said I would just be in prayer for hours. Like, how would I be able to get there? But just get yourself in a position. Wherever you start at, let God pull you and stretch you. He'll get you there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the disciples came to Jesus, they said, teach us to pray. They did not say, teach us a prayer. Jesus responded to their request by using the same method. He listed various topics. In this manner, therefore, he said, pray. In the manner, he said, therefore, pray. The text is not saying to use the exact words, but it said, you come in prayer. Jesus commanded that his followers not to repeat the prayer word for word, but to pray in this manner. This indicates clearly that he intended it only as a model or as a pattern to guide them in making their requests to God, and not as a stereotype form. You say, well, I've said everything word for word. But as we grow in Christ, we have to, our spirit should be able to open up, and we should be able to present ourselves using this guideline. It's no particular way that you should be in prayer. Just open up your heart and just speak to God. The ones that you love, it's no particular way that you walk into your spouse and just, you know, every day monotone same thing, but you know that you have some salutations that you're going to exchange with each other, and that you want to show them that I love you, that I missed you, that I couldn't wait to speak to you today. When you pick up your loved ones from school, you want to know, how was your day? How did it go? How did your first day go? How did your job go? We want to say, thank you, Lord Jesus. When I get up personally, I just thank God so much that he would allow me to get up and live another day. And I just thank him by telling him, God, I just dedicate this day right back to you. And I ask you to show me all it is that you want me to do. Forgive me of my sins, and may I be able to forgive someone else today. Hallelujah. As I armor myself to head out for another day, I don't take it for granted, but I stay in prayer throughout my day. My job that I do, I want to be the best at what I do. I want to do my best. So I can't just hold that in my hands. I dedicate it over to God. God, this is you. I'm in a leadership position. I want to make sure I'm leading the people somewhere. I want to look behind me and make sure that my followers are going somewhere. I don't want them to be following Vaughn. I want them to be following you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. The prayer indicates it's a meaningless repetition of set words and phrases. He wants you to have meaning with your prayer, with your open heart. That's where the meaning comes from. Not just of set words that you're just continuously saying. It was to avoid this very danger that Jesus warned against us, to use the words of repetition or use the words in vain. It defeats the whole purpose of a genuine prayer. When, as a child, my parents taught me, now lay me down to sleep, I prayed the Lord that my soul to keep. And then if I should die before I wake, oh, I pray the Lord that my soul you will take. As I started to grow, oh, they wouldn't accept that from me anymore. They said, they start calling me out. Pray. Where's your prayer life at? Pray about it. Situations going on in their life, they said, well, pray about it. Let me pray with you. Now, you pray about it. You start wherever you are. You start wherever you are, sisters and brothers. Mighty Cruz, I call you right now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I said, everything, every question that you have, just come with an open heart. And you let the Holy Spirit dwell right inside of you, and he will deliver exactly what you're looking for. He will open you up, and if you just accept him and invite him in, he will reveal himself to you. So all of the things that you thought you had the answers to, just let him reveal the truth to you. Just let him reveal the truth to you. Hallelujah. Many people say that they're in prayer, but saying is not praying. Prior to giving us the prayer, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warned against, again, the vain repetition. The word vain includes thoughtless. It comes from a formal, or it can be a religious word. It can get to the point that you just habitually just saying something, you know something. And that's the same when we're praying in song and hymns. It can just be words. We can get caught up in emotions. We can get caught up in the way that the director is directing the choir. The musicians are playing, or just the voice, that the talent that God has set inside of each and every one of us. And some are in singing and praising. And we can just get caught up in there, and we just get caught up in emotions. The enemy does not mind you getting caught up and entertaining each other with the words. But you got to start to let everything fade away. And you got to just bring it all to and say, God, I'm just here at the altar, and I want to pray. I'm praying. I'm opening up my heart, and I just want you to receive my worship. You got to get into an intimate type of prayer, an intimate type of worship. And that's when the Holy Spirit will reveal the answers to some of those deep, dark secrets that you're holding inside of you. You know that it's a question that you just cannot get the answers to. Why me? Why did this happen? Why is this not happening? You spend so much of your life. Why did this happen to me? You spend so much time in your life and you can't forgive, and you're holding on to that bitterness. And you're looking at the people, the person who did these things to you, said these things, held you down, didn't allow you to do this and that. And you see them, they seem to be prospering. They seem to be going on about their life. They seem to be making leeway, and you seem to be stuck. And you just grow more bitter, and it's just building up. And so now the years are passing on, and you find yourself, now you feel like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. This life has not been fair to me. I have haven't got anything out of life. You feel like I've been used and abused all through life. Jesus said, I'm teaching you how to pray. He's inviting you to come and go into prayer. Because when you're deep in your prayer, he wants to reveal to you something. Some things that you have not quite saw. Some things that you have not quite heard. He wants to reveal to you how to get yourself out of that. He wants to reveal to you who's holding you down. He wants to reveal to you who's applying the pressure to you right now. Who's giving you that pain that you're feeling? He wants to reveal that to you. The question is, are you ready for that new dimension? Are you ready for those answers? Are you ready to go to that secret place? Are you ready to go into a prayer pattern? Not just every now and then, just to see what results you're going to get. But are you ready to actually get into the promises of God? To be focused on major points, major topics of your prayer, as God reveals them, outlining them, and some of the followings we gave. We're going to go over a little bit later on our next show. But just six of those outlines in your prayer life. The promises is number one. Praying based upon the phrase, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. By approaching God's names, by approaching God's promises, that's the way that you start your prayer. You got to know the promises that God has for you. You got to know that God is your healer if you're sick in your body. You got to know the name that a comforter. If you feel like that the whole world is turning against you, you got to be able to approach him by his name. You got to be able to know that he's a deliverer, that in the midst of that abuse that you're in right now, you got to be able to pray, my deliverer, you're my savior. Call him out as your savior, sister. Mothers and fathers, that child right now, call him out. You may be hundreds of miles away, and you know they're in a situation right now that is dangerous. You got to call them out. That's that savior, that deliverer, that they can deliver them out of the pits of hell. And you got to promise, stand on his promise. Stand on his promises that he still knows the plans that he has for your child. He still knows the plans that he has for you. You got to stand on his promises. Hallowed be thy name. You are our Father in heaven. Number two is the priorities. Jesus always prioritized prayer. I don't care what was going on. He always found time to break away and go to his Father in prayer. Prioritize praying. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, that is setting and maintaining priorities in your life, your family, your church, your nation. You got to have things prioritized. Prayer, then your family, your church. You got to pray for your nation. These things have to be a part of your prayer. Not so much as the things that he knows your needs. Let's start by saying that. So if we're spending all of our time praying for some man who's probably not even supposed to be for you, praying for a new car, God, there's nothing wrong with having a new car. There's nothing wrong with having someone in your life, a companion. So hear me from the Spirit. I just need you to prioritize. Make sure what you're praying for. Remember, you're praying to your Heavenly Father. We can't put God down on a level with us. God is not man. God is not man. So we got to keep God where he belongs. He's our Heavenly Father. We have to prioritize. And then we have to look at the provision. It says, give us this day our daily bread. where you appropriate God's provision for that day. Where do you appropriate God's vision? Our daily bread. I need prayer every day. God, I need to speak to you every day. Hallelujah. Pardon is number four. And forgive us our debts as we forgive, there we go, our debtors. You said, I'm not there yet, evangelist. That's okay. Just keep saying it. As I forgive. Get your spirit used to the fact of even saying the fact, I will be a forgiver. I will be a forgiver. Say it again. I will be a forgiver. I'm going to learn to forgive. God's going to show me how to forgive. I look forward to being a forgiver. That's something I haven't been. I'm going to be something I haven't been, a forgiver. And forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, you learn to have a right attitude towards everyone. And here's another part. Here's a big one. Wait for it. Wait for it. All the time. Well, you learn to have a right attitude towards people all of the time. Power. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's where you put on God's armor and you build a hedge of protection around yourself, your family, your possessions. Power. And then praise is number six. Obeying God's most dynamic commandment to praise him based on, for yours is the kingdom and the power. Oh, and then you hold all the glory. Don't we need glory, sisters and brothers? And then the glory that he has and the power that he holds and the kingdom that is set, that he's went ahead and prepared for us. It's not just for right now, but it's forever. Woo! And forever, thank you, Lord Jesus. And ever, I want your power. And ever, I need your kingdom. I love to dwell in your glory. What are we going to do when we really get face to face? I don't know. The glory right now almost blow you up. Sometimes you just feel like you're just going to just explode. Oh, I don't know what we're going to do, sisters, but I look forward to it. And I know you do, too. Well, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for, oh, thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your power. We thank you for joy and understanding. I thank you, Jesus, for another opportunity to allow you to use me to speak to your people. And we ask that each and every person that is reaching out to Father, that they just hold on, because they will find you. You're not a man that you could lie. We praise you and we love you. Amen. Amen. Again, this is your host, Evangelist Von Dimas. Evangelist Von Dimas, and you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, walkwithmegod@aol.com. Feel free. You can call in on tomorrow night's show. The call-in number is 646-652-4916. Again, it is 646-652-4916. Do you know what it means to be made whole? In our last minutes here as we close, this is the most important part of it. God loves you and he wants to heal every area of your life. He sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to set you free from sin, from sickness, from death. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would be honored to introduce you to the greatest friend you ever need. Just repeat after me. Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of all of my sin. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you again, right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. And I want to thank you for loving me enough for dying for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on that cross. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior, and in your name I pray, amen. If you just pray that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. I'll see you again tomorrow. God bless you. We love you. Tell someone.